I get the opportunity to share with you again this morning some things that God has been teaching me, and I count that as a privilege. So what I wanted to speak with you this morning about is a parable that Jesus told, and it's the parable of the weeds among the wheat. Oh, and there it is. Hey, you did it for me. So I would just like to begin by reading the parable to you. It's found in the 13th chapter of Matthew, and it says, Jesus told them another parable. He's speaking to the crowds. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "The weeds. An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn." After Jesus spoke this parable, he then went on to tell the parable of the mustard seed and of the yeast in the leaven and the bread. And then it says he went into the house with his disciples, and they came to him and said, "Explain that parable about the weeds to us." And so if you move back down into the chapter in verse 36, he tells them what it meant. So this is the explanation of the parable of the weeds. It says, "Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field.' He answered, 'The one man sowed the good seed. The one that sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let him hear." So, as I was studying this parable, oh wait a minute, I have to do it this way, right? Okay, I did it, it didn't work, there we go. As I was studying this parable and looking deeper into it, I would like to just share with you some of the things that I felt like God was showing me. The weeds that Jesus was speaking of in that day was actually, it's called darnel grass. And they said it looks so much like wheat, it's so similar to wheat, that it's actually called false wheat. And so I searched the internet for pictures of wheat and false wheat. And on the left is the wheat, and on the right is the false wheat. And so the parable says that God scattered his people out into the world, the people of the kingdom. They're in the world. They're all over the world. It's scattered into the world. The field represents the world. And there are also many people that are represented by the weeds, or the weeds that are not people of the kingdom. And so what I started to do is started looking at that and thinking part of the reason why this is important is that for us, it's hard for us to distinguish sometimes which is the weeds and which is the wheat. And so I took a little stroll down history lane, especially the history of the church, to look at that. How well have we done that, distinguishing the weeds from the wheat? And one of the places that I started looking at was the Crusades in the 11th, 12th, and 13th century. There were the Crusades were a bunch of military campaigns that were leashed against the Muslims that were controlling the Holy Land. And these crusaders were, in the name of God, and calling, you know, being Christians, going and wiping out and killing many Muslim people because they wanted the land. They wanted the Holy Land back. And so that was their justification. They were doing this for God. And we look back now on that time of history, and we think that wasn't such a good thing that they did. And so I look at that and I think, so who was the wheat and who was the weeds? Can we look at that and can we tell? Then another time similar or close to that time in history, there was a thing called the Inquisition. There was lots of Inquisitions. But during the Inquisition, the Inquisitors were seeking to rule, to weed out, good word, to weed out heretics, people that were, that they felt were heretical, in other words, speaking falsely, false doctrine and falsely against the church. This was people of the church, people who would claim to be Christians. It was the church that did this, that weeded people out, that took people and said, we believe you're preaching heresy. And so what they did is they burned a lot of them at the stake. One was Joan of Arc. Now she is considered a Catholic saint. You know, we look back on history and we look at the Inquisition and we think, maybe we didn't get that right. You know, now it's easy for us to look back and say, maybe they weren't the weeds. We thought they were the weeds. They looked like weeds to us, but maybe they were wheat. Who knows? It's a question that I find myself asking when I look throughout history. If you move further into history and you come to America and this land that we live in, before we came here, there was a population of 12 million Native Americans living on this continent. And within the first 400 years, their population was reduced 95% because of what we brought to them through disease and through wars and through killing. And so they were reduced down to 237,000. And we did this again, I think, in all of these, the common thread is dominance and fear. We feared people. In the Inquisitions, they feared what these people were teaching, and that fear drove them to violence. With the Native Americans, we came over, we Christians came to America and didn't get along real well with the Native Americans, brought them, like I said, a lot of diseases. And then also, throughout that time, those 400 years began to war against the Native American people until we reduced them down to 237,000 from 12 million. And then, after that time, then in the 1800s, we went on to take the rest of the Native American people living in this country and we wanted to really get rid of their culture altogether. So we took them and put them in boarding schools and tried to weed out that culture that we so disliked. This was the church that did this. These were people that were professing Christians. And I'm not saying they weren't. I'm just saying, how good are we at telling the weeds from the wheat? We have to ask ourselves that question. Another part of our history, in 1692, there was something called, which I'm sure all of you have heard of, the Salem Witch Trials. Again, the church, out of fear, started looking at people that were claiming to hear from God and things, and most of them were women, and they were afraid of what they were seeing. You know, there's been a lot of studies on that time of history, too, and I know some of the things that I've heard is even to disease. They didn't understand disease and mental illness and different things like that as well as we do today. A lot of stuff occurred that created fear. And out of that fear, they said it was mass hysteria. People just believed it, that these people were these women were witches. And so they put them on trial, and they hung them. We look back on history, and a lot of the people that were hung, we look at their lives and what they were saying, and not really sure. Were they weeds or were they wheat? I don't know. You know, that's for us to look at. If we come up closer, closer into history, our history in America, a very dark part of our history is the KKK, the Ku Klux Klan, who spent many years killing and torturing people of color and believing they were doing the work of God. Their symbol that they used to say, this is the work of God. We are the wheat. We are the wheat doing the work of God, weeding out those people, was a burning cross. They used a burning cross as their symbol. And I read that much of what they did during those meetings that they would have, and they would do this too, they would sing spiritual songs and hymns and pray to God earnestly. This was, they believed they were the wheat. They were doing the work of God. And I think now, obviously, we look back, and it's a dark part of our history, and we think, maybe they weren't the wheat. Were they the weeds? What were they? At its peak, the Ku Klux Klan membership was 4 million adult white males, and they comprised 20% of the adult population, and in some areas, 40% of the adult population. And like I said, these were people that if you asked them what they believed, they would say they believed in Jesus. They would tell you they were Christians and they were doing the work of God. And again, I think they were afraid, and I think they wanted to dominate. Dominance and fear leads us to do some really awful things sometimes. But when I look at those 4 million people, and I look at a lot of these people throughout history, what I also look at is that I don't think that they were all weeds. I mean, 4 million people were following an ideology that was flawed. Were those 4 million people all weeds? I don't think they were. I think they were deceived. I think that, and I think that there was just a big mix. There was weeds and there was wheat. And how can we tell which they were? There was another national leader that rose to prominence in history that I'd like to read a quote from. It says, "God the Almighty has made our nation. By defending its existence, we are defending his work. In the years to come, I shall continue on this road, uncompromisingly safeguarding my people's interests, oblivious to all misery and danger, and filled with the holy conviction that God the Almighty will not abandon him who during all his life had no desire but to save his people from a fate it had never deserved, neither by virtue of its number nor by way of its importance. In vowing ourselves to one another, we are entitled to stand before the Almighty and ask him for his grace and his blessing. No people can do more than that. More than that, everybody who can fight fights, and everybody who can work works, and that they all sacrifice in common, filled with but one thought, to safeguard freedom and national honor and thus the future of life." This was a man that believed, if you asked him what he believed, he'd tell you he believed in Jesus, that he was a Christian. And his name was Adolf Hitler, and he spoke that in 1945. Now, we look back at Hitler. Hitler always comes up when you talk about good and evil because he's our greatest example. I mean, in our minds, he's it. You know, he's the epitome of evil. He's a weed. Really? I mean, isn't he a weed? If we're going to talk about weeds, wheat and weeds, he seems in our minds to be a weed because he did many, many evil things. But when I look at that time of history and I look at Hitler too, I think of all the people that followed him. Think of the millions of people, a country that followed him, that listened to his rhetoric and listened to his falseness and believed it and followed him. Now, were all of those people weeds? Or were they deceived? I don't know. I'm asking the question. I know that even now, I've been thinking a lot even this week about, I know there's been a lot of stuff on TV about 9/11 and the 10-year reunion of that awful day when many people lost their lives. But I've been thinking also about the 10 years from that moment to this moment and what is going on in the Middle East and our involvement there and the way that we are looking at it. I know that there are people on both sides of the camp, and they probably are in this room. Not all of us agree on maybe what we should be doing in Iraq. But what really is disturbing to me is the loss of life. And some of the things that I've read, you know, we look at Americans, and they say that there's been 4,474, this was just the other day, it might have changed, American deaths in Iraq, and 1,747 in Afghanistan. And that's Americans. And we look at American lost life, and that disturbs us, as it should, and it grieves us. But there have also been, they estimated probably close to 1 million people of Iraq or Afghanis that have died in these wars in this last 10 years that we have been fighting. And that's disturbing to me. Are they the weeds and we're the wheat because we're on the right and they're on the wrong? I don't know. I do know that Jesus cares about all of us and loves all of us. So I started, in looking at this parable, I didn't do it that way. Hey! I wanted to just point out a couple of specific things from the parable. And again, I've studied this parable for weeks and weeks, and I could study it for years because there's so much in the teachings of Jesus that for me to tell you, and this is everything that you can learn from this parable, that would not be true. There is so much there. So for this morning, and because of time, I'm just going to share a few things with you. In verse 30, where it says, "Let both grow together until the harvest, at that time I will tell the harvesters what to do," and the harvesters were Jesus' angels. It says he'll send the angels out to sort it all out. But the word there, let, when he says let both grow, the word let in the Greek is, I have to say this, is aphiami. And that word actually meant, is the same word, and what it means is forgive. Now that's pretty telling in that what Jesus is saying. He's saying, forgive the weeds, you know, forgive them, forgive the sin that is in the world. It's going to grow up amongst you. The weeds and the wheat are growing together, and we are to leave them alone, in a sense. And so our response to evil is the same response that Jesus had to evil, which is to give and to be willing to suffer. And that is the way that Jesus responded to evil. And so then that begs the question, so if we just forgive people of their sin or of their evil, doesn't that just give them permission to sin some more or to kill more or to do more evil? Are we giving them permission to do that? And what I found fascinating is the same word that is used for let, that means forgive, it's the same word in the Greek that means permission. So in a sense, yeah, we are saying, as a follower of Jesus, I'm going to walk the way of love. But isn't that the message that God gives to us? Now, does God want us to sin? Does God want us to do evil? Of course not. Of course not, because it hurts us, and it hurts the world, and it hurts everybody around us. So God says, don't. God says, repent. Don't do that. But do we have permission to? We do. Because of our free will, God isn't going to say, you can't do this. You know, you can't even do that. We were talking about this week because when I preach, I always talk about it with my family. But even like with your kids, you can tell your kids, don't do this. If you do this, you're going to get hurt, or it's going to hurt you, or it's going to hurt somebody else. But can you actually stop them from doing it? You can't, because people have free will. My kids have free will. I was talking to Emily this week even about when she was like 13, she begged and begged and begged to go see a movie that I did not want her to see. So I just said, no, you can't go, period. And so then she went over to a friend's house later on and watched the movie, you know, because you don't care, I know. and that's free will. It's like, I can tell you, don't do this. It's not good for you, but you can choose to do it or not. Now, am I going to hold that against her for the rest of her life? You know, it's like, no. I mean, I can forgive that. It's like, okay, you did that. It's okay. And what else stood out to me in this little thing here is that Jesus says, I will tell the harvesters. So who is the judge? Are we the judge of good and evil? Are we the ones that can tell the weeds from the wheat? Are we good at that? I don't think we're very good at it, as history tells us. And even in my own life, sometimes I don't know. So it says, the Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. And when is this going to happen? At the end of the age. The parable says, at the end of the age, God says, let it all grow up. It's here. You can look. You don't have to look far in this world to see evil and to see weeds. And you don't have to look far to see wheat either, to see good and to see kindness and to see love. And so for us, and what we're called to, is to let Jesus be the judge. We don't have to be the judge of what is good and what is evil. What we're called to do is follow Jesus, to love. I mean, these are words from Jesus. Jesus said, love your enemies, forgive those who sin against you. That's what we're called to, bring reconciliation to the world through the love of God, bringing the love of God to the world. That's what we're called to. Turn the other cheek. I love it. You know, it's like, and I've had many, many, many discussions, and I'm sure all of you probably have too, of people that don't want to do that. I don't want to turn the other cheek. I want to let them have it, you know. But these are Jesus's words. And so for me, personally, I have to trust that God is a better caretaker of the garden than me. This is the weeds and the wheat. To me, this represents the world. This is the world I live in. It's full of weeds and it's full of wheat. I thank God that I don't have to sort all that out. I don't have to figure all that out, because Jesus said, trust me. I want you to trust me. I want you to walk with me, and I want you to be the love to the world that I want to bring. That's what I'm calling you to. To follow Jesus means to be a lover of God and a lover of people. And I just don't understand how we can do that without choosing to turn the other cheek when people do us harm. I don't... It says in Matthew 5:39, I just want to read a few of these verses to you. It says, but I say to you, do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. Those are Jesus' words, not mine. In Luke 6:37, it says, do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. So judgment is reserved for Jesus and his angels at the end of the age. And I think that God's heart is for all people to be reconciled to God. That's the heart of God. He wants all people to be reconciled. And I am not here to tell you at the end of this parable, yes, it says that the weeds will be weeded out and they will be thrown into the fiery furnace. Unfortunately, some of us is like that too much. Good, they're going to get it. You know, and it's like God's heart is, no, I don't want anybody to get it. But the reality of it is there will be people in the world that will turn away, that will say, I don't want to be reconciled. I don't want to come with you. And so it's an inevitable thing that they're going to be cast away. But, you know, when I read my Bible and I look at Jesus' life and I look at these things for myself, I have to believe that God knows what he's doing and I don't. And I can't be the gardener of that. I can love. I can choose to go the way of love. There's also, and in Romans, it's another verse that I think we struggle with. It says, do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. And I mean, that's pretty clear. It's not up to me to weed it all out and to sort it all out. And if I am going to walk the ways of Jesus, it's going to cost me something too. It may cost me my life. It cost him his. You know, when he, and I'm not saying, and if you know me at all, the people that do know me, I think it's always right to speak against injustice. I think it's always right to resist the devil. That's in the Bible too, resist evil. I think that we are called to be the salt and the light and the love of God in this world. That's what we're called to. And we need to bring that, each and every one of us, wherever it is that we go in this world. That, I truly believe, is the heart of God for his church and for the people of the kingdom. And I believe that that is what you all are. And so it's much more difficult. I mean, Jesus' life and what he chose to do was much more difficult. He chose to give his life for people. And when he was hanging on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. That's the way of Jesus. That's what we're called to. And it's an awesome task. And I don't think that we can even walk that way without submitting and surrendering our life daily to God himself and asking God to give us the strength to walk in that. So thanks for letting me share with you. And I'll just close this with a word of prayer. God, I thank you so much that you are the giver of life and that you love the wheat and you love the weeds of this world. And your heart's desire is to draw them to yourself. I pray, God, that we will walk in that way as well, that you will give us hearts of love, hearts of forgiveness, and that your love and your forgiveness and your kindness and your mercy will pour out from our lives, and that is what we will bring to this world that is in conflict, this world that seems to think that the way to peace is through fighting. God, I know that the way to peace is through love. I pray that is what you will grow in each one of our hearts as we walk with you day by day. I thank you for every soul in this place, for every person sitting here. I pray, God, that you will fill them to overflowing with your love and your kindness and your goodness, and that they will bring that to all the different places where their journeys take them in this world. And I pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.